right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out, and you're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. So standing by is Chris Collins Pisano, and he is starring in the Tony Award-winning musical Spamalot that's right here at the Sigmundstrom. Hilarious show. It's based on the classic film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It'll be at the Sigmundstrom for a while, and all the details about the show are up on the show blog, as well as a cast picture, which is so funny. Show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. It runs through the 22nd. It opened last night. It's following its critically acclaimed 2023 Broadway revival at the St. James Theater, and now it's on its North American tour. And Chris is joining us right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. So nice to be here. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Really happy to be here in Costa Mesa at the Sagerstrom. We had a really, really great show last night.
You must have had a great turnout.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was huge. I mean, I've never played that theater before. It's gigantic and
yes.
Beautiful. And, yeah, we had a really great showing.
Fantastic. So I want to, before we dive into the show, I want you to tell listeners a little bit about your backstory, because you have quite the resume. How did you decide theater was your lane?
Oh, man. Okay. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Nice.
And when I was in elementary school, I started playing the violin. That was kind of my way, I guess, into music and performing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do plays in school a lot. And then once I got into middle school, high school, I kind of realized that I was enjoying theater very, very much. I kind of switched away from music to more theater performance stuff, started taking voice lessons, did a lot more like school performances through high school, and then I went to the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music for musical theater in college, got my BFA there.
Okay.
And then I moved to New York City in 2016. I've been living there ever since, and just kind of done whatever I can. Mostly a lot of regional and summer stock work, and then I spent the last 5-6 years working with this company called Forbidden Broadway, who actually we did a show at a few shows at the Sagerstrom last year.
Oh,
Forbidden Broadway. Forbidden Broadway. Merrily We Stole a Song, I believe.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't in the big theater. We were in a different space, but
yes.
It's a Broadway parody group. So I've been working with them. Doing shows since 2019.
Fantastic.
And I feel like, yeah, that gave me a lot of good training for this show. And then while I was actually doing Forbidden Broadway in Denver this past summer, sent in a tape for Spamalot, went to New York for my callback, and was lucky enough to book it, and here I am.
Here you are. So tell me, for people that don't understand what the show is about, can you give us a little brief summary?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's the 1975 movie, Monty Python, Quest for the Holy Grail, which is really, really fantastic. It's been a favorite of mine since middle school. I'm a huge Monty Python fan. So it kind of loosely follows that classic, legend of King Arthur and his knights and the Round Table and their quest for the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little different. King Arthur probably has a little more frustration on his shoulders.
Sure.
Because everybody around him in this world is pretty, pretty silly, pretty stupid, pretty ridiculous. And he's trying to hold it all together so that he can find this grail, and he runs into a ton of really, really wacky characters along the way. I play Sir Lancelot, who, you know, is a very classic kind of character. He's probably not what you expect in this version of the legend. I also play some characters from the movie, like a French taunter.
Oh, yes.
The knight who says knee, and then Tim the Enchanter as well. So it's like it's a really, really kind of madcap, screwball kind of show with a lot of like good sketch comedy elements, all the classic stuff you remember from the movie if you've seen it.
Yes.
Very like quirky British humor, and then some great like classic Broadway spectacle. We have an incredible ensemble of performers that are dancing and singing their booties off every single day. It's really great.
And we need laughter. I feel like we need more of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? We need more levity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, things are definitely pretty complicated these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of, like, cold weather moving through recently. So I think it's a really good it's a really good show to be able to get out and see, regardless of whether you've seen the movie or you've seen the show before. I think there's something for everybody, and I think it's definitely one of those shows that's going to leave you better than how you walked into the building.
You bet. You bet. So do you lean towards roles of comedy, or do you like an eclectic mix in your portfolio of work?
Oh, man. I mean, I would say, like, ideally, yes. Mm-hmm. I lean towards an eclectic mix,
yeah.
But I have found, like, over the almost 10 years since I've been out of school, that primarily stuff has been comedies, and I certainly don't really mind that. I mean, it'd be great to do other work as well. That'd
mm-hmm.
be very fun. There's a lot of great shows I would love to do, but over time, I've kind of realized that this seems to be kind of what my bread and butter of this kind of work in theater and musical theater especially is, and I really love it. I mean, especially a show like this, getting to play multiple characters,
yes.
getting to tackle a really interesting style of comedy and get to pay homage to, you know, one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite comedy troupes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, not much more you can really ask for.
And I actually remember seeing this movie with a bunch of my friends when I was in high school, and just, I'm like, what is this? This is hysterical.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of baffling.
It is. I'm like, what
but
are we watching? What did you take me to? Yes.
Yeah.
So funny. Now, how do you play all these different characters, Chris?
Well, I mean, there's, I don't know. I don't consider it cheating necessarily. Maybe it'll sound like it, but I don't think it is. but, you know, you kind of have, luckily, especially with, like, the three parts that I'm playing besides Lancelot,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were all John Cleese in the movie, and I think
yeah.
he set such, like, a, you know, a genius-level roadmap for how to tackle it, and it's very, like, the style is very unique to him, and,
mm-hmm.
like, if anybody's ever watched, anybody listening has watched Fawlty Towers, or, you know, any of the stuff he's done, Fish Called Wanda, all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, like, he just has this very special quality of turning incredibly ridiculous people that kind of live by a very different set of rules than we do going about our life, and he finds a way to make it incredibly realistic. So I feel like that's kind of been the key for me, and our director, Josh Rhodes, who directed and choreographed the tour and also directed and choreographed the revival on Broadway in 2023, when we were in rehearsal, he would keep saying, you know, remember to bring the reality to these guys,
mm-hmm.
like, as no matter how ridiculous they are, they all represent something real, and they're all kind of like characters that help move, you know, our plot's pretty thin, but it helps to move it along.
Yes.
And you know, like, the Knight of Knee is this big, like, dangerous obstacle to King Arthur, so I find that, like, you know, you have fun, you make sure you punch all those words because the writing is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Leave things open to spontaneity. It's very fun to get to come up with different things every night in some of the parts, but I don't know. I try to always just remember that it's about all of these, like, crazy characters I'm playing are helping this guy or hindering this King
sure.
Arthur from making, you know, going through his journey. So as
right.
long as it kind of stays grounded in, you know, the circumstances of what's going on, I think it can still it still make sense.
Sure,
and be funny at the same time.
Do you ever draw inspiration from, like, real people you know in building these comedic characters?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know if I could, like, necessarily
name them,
like, say
right.
if there's, like, a specific person for each thing. Or,
sure.
But, you know,
sure.
if, yeah, you go through life, and especially, like, you know, living in New York City and
oh, yeah.
the subway and, like, doing all this stuff, just kind of inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of just littered around. But,
yeah,
I mean, I think that it's important to kind of take in the world around you. And, yeah, there's so much good, funny inspiration for stuff. All over the place.
I guess I asked that because, so I grew up in New York City and then
yeah.
Connecticut, and I remember my dad was this tough New Yorker, and but he also had a funny side, and I later found out that he had a chance to study theater in London, but he gave it up
oh
for a
God.
Basketball scholarship, and I often wonder,
whoa.
I know, I often wonder, like, come on, oh, he was so funny, and he
yeah.
influenced me to study voice acting because of all these crazy characters, and
yeah.
but just walking with my angry dad on a Friday through Grand Central with his briefcase, and he's banging into people, and they'd
yeah.
be swearing at him, and I'm like, sorry, sorry, and he couldn't care less, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He was a character, so I made me think of, like, I bet, you know, as an actor, you get influenced by these quirky people, all kinds of people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think you carry a lot of that stuff around.
Yeah. What advice would you give to people that are listening? We're broadcasting here from UC Irvine, but people that are studying theater, the Claire Trevor, and who would love to see themselves in your shoes someday?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. I mean, I think that if this is what you love to do, then there's nothing wrong with pursuing it. And second of all, just, you know, pursue it with all you've got, and, you know, be ready for whatever path that's going to take you on. It's never like the direct path that you think it's going to be. I mean, for some people, you know, you get lucky or you're very talented and it just fits and the opportunity happens.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like, you know, I remember watching an interview once, I think it was with Jamie Foxx, and he was talking about how, you know, there's so little that you can control going into this kind of business.
Yes.
The only thing you can control is yourself and the work you're doing and how prepared you are.
Yes.
And so I think it's about doing everything you can to be as prepared as possible for whenever that opportunity arrives, to be able to jump all the way in at it and know that, you know, there's so much rejection, there's so many no's before you get a yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're ready for when that yes comes around, then it's all yours.
Great advice.
And I think it's also important to remember that as hard as you work to achieve whatever you're looking to achieve in this business, having the life outside of it or alongside with it, making that as full as possible, really ends up aiding you in continuing to be able to fight to get the work that you want and deserve.
That is such important advice. I remember a casting director telling us, have a full life. Focus on your mental, physical, emotional health. Be ready, but be open to this non-linear journey and say yes to things. You don't know where they're going to lead you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll tell you a funny story. So I used to live in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Years. Wait, I went to middle school in Brookline.
You did?
Yeah, I went to the Park School.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. My husband went to Devotion.
Oh, crazy. All right. Cool.
Okay. So I went to a Syracuse alumni luncheon at the Four Seasons. I didn't want to go. My dad's like, by the way, I signed you up for this thing later today. And I'm like, what? So I go and I'm like, thanks, you know. And I didn't love the work I was doing. I was working in a different field, training and development. And I wanted to leave. And sitting across from me was this woman. She was an older actress. And I got to know her. And she says, you do not seem very happy. And I said, you know, your career sounds so interesting. I always wanted to study voice acting. And she said, I'll tell you what, I want you to call my teacher today. And she wrote her name down. And she said, and here's my number. You're to call me later on and tell me you called her. So I did. And I studied with her teacher for 9 years. And because I was open. I was open to having a conversation with a stranger and taking her advice, and I could see how she really wanted to help. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So wait, you went to Syracuse?
I went to Syracuse University, yes.
Oh, our the guy that plays Patsy in our show, Blake Siegel, him and his wife both are professors at Syracuse University. They're professors in the theater department.
Wow. Maybe they want to call into my show. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to reach out to them. Awesome. Yeah, I loved Syracuse. It was great. Great school. But Boston is a great place. I remember studying at CP Casting and...
Yeah. I used to audition for CP Casting.
You did? Okay.
This is hysterical.
So funny. Yeah. So what's next for you? I mean, I know you're on this national tour and you'll be here till the 22nd.
That's
right. The Secret Room. Where to next?
Let's see. We got a nice little... We're kind of like hanging on the West Coast for a while. We're here.
It's good.
Sagerstrom till the 22nd, and then we go to Las Vegas for a week. And then we're going to be in San Fran for like 3 weeks. We're going to be in L.A. for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then we're going to kind of hook down over to Texas, and we're going to do Houston and Fort Worth, and then we'll be in St. Louis. And I think that's as far as my brain is able to take.
That's okay. Right. Well, that's nice. You get out of the East Coast from the weather and everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited. I've never really gotten to spend... I think I've only been to San Fran like one time for a very short period, and I've never been to L.A., so I'm very, very
that's
excited.
That's great. Oh, I love it. Fantastic. Anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about this show?
Oh, man. I mean, just if you want to have a laugh, if you're looking for a great night out at the theater, we have a really, really fantastic cast, really, really top tier. We have an unbelievable crew of designers and stage crew that are putting the show on every night. I know that it's a musical that's been around before and that people have probably seen, but I think we've got a really great, fresh take. We've got a banging cast, and I think it'll be a great night, and you'll walk out better than you came in.
I love it. And I want to mention on the show blog, which is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, I want to mention that the original Broadway production was nominated for 14 Tony Awards and won 3, including Best Musical.
Yeah.
Stellar. Well, I want to thank you so much for calling in. If people want to find out more about you, do you have an Instagram? Do you have a website?
Yes, I have an Instagram. It's at Leaning Tower of Pisano. And yeah.
Of course it is.
So I'm hanging on to it.
That's so funny. Okay, sorry, I cut you off.
That's probably the best way.
Okay, Leaning Tower of Pisano. Okay. All right. Very cool. And so I encourage people, if you're interested, to go to the Siegerstrom. The show will go through the 22nd, and all the information is on the show blog. And if you missed any part of this conversation I've had with Chris, and thank you, Chris, it'll be up within an hour after I wrap.
Great. Thank you so much. This has been really, really fun.
Oh, really fun. Thanks so much. Congratulations.
Oh, my God, you got it. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's a wrap. If you missed, like I said, any part of the conversation with Chris Collins Pisano, who's starring in the Tony Award-winning musical Spamalot, based on the classic film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which is really funny film, my conversation will be up within an hour. And he has numerous roles in this show, which is super funny. And you can find out more by visiting the Siegerstrom website. Or visiting my show blog. I've got a lot of information. You can also go to spamalotmusical.com, and I put that link on my show page as well. And there's information about where to get tickets and the number and all this other stuff if you want to go get group tickets to the show. So that's a wrap for me. If you want to find out about being a guest in this new year, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. You can also visit our website, KUCI.org. We have a whole mix of talent here at the station, numerous genres, any genre you can think of, we have it. We have about 125 members of our staff here, and we have public affairs shows as well. My show has been airing since 2011, which I cannot believe, and every show I've ever done is on there, including ones in the pandemic that I did on Zoom. And what else? So you can also visit our socials at KUCI-FM. So top of the hour is SoCal New Waver with Past Forward. Fantastic show. Stick around for that. And I'll leave you with a little music. And I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope you can also consider how to be better to yourself. Being a better human is important to other people, but also to yourself. Being more thoughtful, being kinder to yourself, thinking about maybe even having boundaries and taking those tech breaks, because we're all glued to our phones. I am guilty of that as well. And having a life off of your phone and figuring out how you're going to connect in person, because there's actually a loneliness epidemic. And it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse for a lot of factors, whether it's phones, AIs, whatever it is. And so I'll leave you with this. Try to focus on how you're going to take the very best care of you. Because at the end of the day, that is the most important thing. Because how you take care of everything, your mental health, emotional health, your social health, is how you'll be better able to show up in the relationships in your life. And people will tell the difference. And sometimes, you know, setting those boundaries where you don't always have to answer that phone when it rings, you don't have to respond to that text, you can just pause and have a rich, rewarding life off of your phone and engage more in person. So I'll leave you with that. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and I'll be back next week. I'm Janine, and you've been listening to Get the Funk Out.